Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with David and Summer.
We're here to dive into all things marriage, faith, and family. Real talk for real couples.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Marriage Podcast with Dave and Summer. So excited to come to you today, and we believe that every marriage can make it and that every marriage has a purpose. Now, we've been talking about different aspects of how to have an ongoing love story that lasts decades, that gets stronger and stronger, so by the end of our lives together, we're more in love, more connected, more intertwined than ever before. And so we believe it's possible, but it's got to be intentional for that to happen. What do you think about that?
Yeah, with marriage, it definitely has to be intentional because you cannot just wing it, and that's how people drift apart.
Yep. And so today, the topic is spiritual intimacy. Mm-hmm. We've talked about emotional intimacy and physical intimacy, and today we're hitting on the topic of spiritual intimacy. What's interesting is in past marital, you know, counseling sessions, retreat settings, different, you know, things like that, people have mentioned in marriage it was easier to get naked and be physically intimate than it was to be spiritually intimate. So what's interesting is just praying together, just spiritually connecting on any level was more of a challenge, more awkward, more of an uphill battle than physical intimacy. So to me, what that speaks of is, first off, the enemy doesn't want us to have that.
Right.
And if it didn't have power with God and give authority over the enemy, then we wouldn't feel that tension or that awkwardness to do it. Mm. So the enemy's trying to get us to not do that. There is a thing, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but there is, I would say, an effort from the enemy for couples not to be spiritually intimate.
We're talking about spiritual intimacy. It's okay for you to be over-spiritual. Yes.
So I don't know where you're at in your marriage today. Maybe you're engaged, but this is huge. To me, this is massive. And it can really help our marriages thrive over time.
Right. And I think that, I think people don't maybe really think about spiritual intimacy, especially if you're not in church or whatever. But, and that the reason for that, I do believe that the enemy wants to act like he's not even there. And he wants to think that, oh, you guys, you know, it's just you and it's God. God's the bad guy. And your spouse is your enemy, and your kids are, you know, the devil's nephews and nieces. Like, he just wants to just drop bombs and act like he's not even there. And I would say majority, I would not even say majority, all of our fights and arguments have to deal with spiritual attacks in every situation.
Yep, I like it.
Yeah.
And so we want to just encourage you with some food for thought on pain points in spiritual intimacy.
Okay.
And then some practicality of ways to build spiritual intimacy that we could all just think about and process. So let's talk about some pain points. This would be areas or things that would hinder us from being connected to our spouse spiritually and growing over time. Go ahead. And start us off.
I'll do the first one. Okay, so the first one would be different spiritual maturity levels. So one spouse maybe is more disciplined in their spiritual walk, and they're growing in God, where the other one probably feels disconnected. I also have down here legalism versus grace. And so you could feel like there's tension between, oh, you know, this spouse is like hearing God, knows scriptures, knows all about it. And, you know, you're over here just like, I'm not doing any of that. And then another underneath the different spiritual maturity levels is, you know, a performance and hypocrisy. So maybe the fear of opening up about your struggles, because maybe one or both feel they have to appear spiritually good. And again, this is just worldly stuff.
I think that every one of us individually need to have the space to have our own connection with God. We want to empower you as a married couple today that my spirituality should not be imposed on you, babe, on my wife, Summer. I need to have my connection to God, and you need to have your connection to God, and we need to give each other the space to have that. And understand that that's a part of our nuance with God, and not to make that a celebration, not a hindrance. Mm. But this happens a lot. And so we don't want to unpack all these because we want to get to building a spiritual intimacy. Mm-hmm. But if this is something you're dealing with, just consider how to support your spouse. Don't compare your spouse to you. Don't make them feel inferior. I just think we have to meet each other where we're at and just enjoy the journey that we're reaching, we're trying. This is a marathon, and we need to give each other the space to grow.
And I would say that there are wives out there who probably would say that they are probably more mm-hmm. spiritually mature, and you have touched on that several times in the podcast mm-hmm. and before, so you guys can check those out yep. and hear what you have to say.
Here's another pain point to spiritual intimacy is busyness and distractions, competing priorities. So just busyness in general, coupled with distractions and competing priorities. So this would be like for us with our four kids, maybe you as well. Kids' schedules is crazy. Every time we try to get away, we give our moms a list of things for our kids to do, and it feels like it's like a whole page.
Schedule, yeah.
And so we have a lot on our plate. I'm sure you do too, if it's kids or something else. Ministry, obligations, just commitments. It feels like our pace is fast. It is fast, but it mm-hmm. feels that way. I know for me, I just enjoy nights when all of us can be at home. And you and I both are homebodies, but if I take that and put it aside, like sincerely, it's just good to be at home because it feels like so many times we're not. Mm. But this is a big deal that we have to watch and I would say navigate because we do have schedules, responsibilities. Our kids need a chance to be involved in whatever, mm. but we can't let it rule us.
Right.
That's yeah, hard.
That is hard. Okay, the next one we have down is, this is pain point, fear and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's hard to admit when you are dealing with a sin issue, doubts or struggles. But then I would also include in this arguments and basically sometimes arguments can root in fear.
Yep.
And so just yep. trying to be vulnerable about that and share those issues with your spouse could be a pain point to spiritual intimacy.
Yep, so good. And really fear, we all have fears. And so we have to cast our fear onto God. I think fear can actually be a place we get deeper into God if we allow it mm-hmm. to lead us that way. But if we follow fear too much, it's going to lead us into deception. Mm-hmm. And we got to go by faith. Mm-hmm. Another one is conflict about faith, disagreements over theology, church, children's spiritual upbringing, prayer styles, and what spiritual leadership looks like. This can divide couples. We've seen this a lot. And mm-hmm. This is a big deal. And I would say if we have differences of opinion, go to the highest point of unity and find a church where you guys can meet at that highest level. Mm-hmm. And do not allow continual strife to exist in the home over this topic, because if you do, it will get into the kids mm. and it will turn them away from God. Mm. So please do not let, you know, one person said there in our Christian faith, there are core doctrines that you cannot, they're not shaken. I mean, you can't mess with them. Mm-hmm. Jesus' virgin birth. He lived a sinless life. He died in our place physically. He shed his blood. Mm-hmm. He was raised from the dead and he ascended to heaven and he's coming back. That's salvation doctrine. We believe we are saved, you know, by grace through faith because of Jesus. Other things are open-handed issues, meaning it's not based on, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with where we go for eternity. It could be opinions. It could be styles. It could be viewpoints on beliefs in scripture, but it doesn't have to do with whether we go, you know, to eternity with God or not. And so discern that. Don't make minor issues the main issue and come to the highest point of unity.
It's good. Okay, the fifth one, lack of transparency.
It's big.
I would say this would fall into communication. We've talked about, you know, us having our own narrative about some things, not really sharing with our spouse how we feel, not really sharing what we think. And so I think the enemy would really love to, I mean, his, I think his biggest weapon, huge weapon, is thoughts and imaginations. And so he would love to just drop those thoughts and imaginations in you and you not share with your spouse.
That's good.
And, you know, the biggest, one of the biggest enemies is no communication, being silent. That's and so you definitely need to open up and share with your spouse.
Yeah. My dad says that the devil dwells in secrets. So, to me, God is light. So talking, communicating, getting something, so to speak, in the light is God. Hiding and shrinking back in the darkness is not God. So think about that. Number six, unresolved conflict, anger or tension makes it hard to pray or read the Bible together. True that. So conflict will happen. We just encourage all of us to resolve it. And you've said before, babe, it may not happen in a day. We may not solve the conflict in a day. The idea of don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Right. We have to solve this right now. That may not happen. I mean, sometimes it can. It may not happen other times. But we would highly recommend don't go weeks, don't go days, don't go months or years holding on to something. We need to come to resolution and move forward. That's the biblical precedent.
Right. Our seventh one is spiritual fatigue or dryness. I know sometimes for me, like if something at work is coming my way, I get hit with something, you know, even grief, you know, can affect loss, disappointment. And it doesn't have to be specifically with my spouse, but it could be, or with your spouse, but it could be outside of that, of your relationship. And sometimes those things can hit you hard. You know, just to be honest, like it can be hard to pray sometimes. It can be hard to read your Bible. And so some of us maybe would like to not open up to God, which can affect us opening up to our spouse.
For sure.
It's a possibility.
It's a big one. And there is ebbs and flows to this. And so watch out for this one that she just shared. Number eight, lack of shared vision. Couples don't communicate where God is leading them. And as a couple. And so this communication to me is the root cause with issues on money, sex, parenting, spirituality, anything. Usually it's a communication breakdown. We're not hearing each other. We're not saying what we're feeling. And so watch out for this because, again, like I just said, I believe God works through healthy communication, not unhealthy, but I believe God works with talking. The devil works through secrecy or talking to the wrong person. So we want to talk to our spouse and keep those lines open.
Right. And the last one is isolation or the lack of spiritual community.
It's a big deal.
You know, those of us who are not plugged into a church, you need to be plugged into a church. It can definitely affect your marriage and your family, your trajectory into life. And then on top of that, those of us who are attending church and maybe you need to be a part of a small group. Maybe you need to be a part of a dream. You know, we call our volunteers dream team. But there's something about when you have a faith-believing community around you and you're able to hear each other's testimonies and you're able to hear each other's stories. And then you're able to release, too. You're able to share your stories and what you're dealing with. And then I think about those of you who have small children. You're with them all the time. And this is your time to actually be in a group. Your babies can be taken care of by someone else. You're able to have adult conversation, and not only adult conversation, but something that is spiritually feeding you well.
So
it's very important.
And Psalms 92 says, when we're planted in God's house, we'll stay green and fresh in our old age and be fruitful. So there's something about being in God's house that has a part to play in us having longevity and fruit in our faith. And man, I remember when our kids were smaller, I'd be at the church working or somewhere, and all of a sudden I'd start singing the Mickey Mouse song, Mickey Mouse
the
Clubhouse.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Hot dog, because of all the kids stuff. It's good to have adult conversations.
Well, that means we need to go to Disney.
No. Now, those are the pain points. So just real quick, we all have pain points, especially when it comes to spiritual intimacy. I just want to recap. We have different spiritual maturity levels, mm-hmm. busyness with distractions, fear and lack of vulnerability, conflicts about our faith, lack of transparency, unresolved conflict, spiritual fatigue and dryness, lack of vision or focus, and isolation, not being a part of a spiritual community. Think about one of those for you. Are any of those highlighted to you right now? And it's okay if there's more than one, or if there's one, because we're human and our marriages go through seasons and we have to be intentional about this. Mm-hmm. And so now let's talk about how do we build spiritual intimacy? And so these are very practical, but I want you to think about how can you apply this? And Summer and I are working on these. We haven't arrived, but we have seen the difference when we do them. So this is huge. Pray together daily. When you and I pray together, what would you say, 30 seconds to a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not hours together.
If you can do that, that's great. Yeah. But just give yourself grace.
You're praying in your prayer closet, called a prayer closet. She's praying by herself. I'm praying by myself. I'm usually up first, sometimes not, but usually. So I'm praying my rhythm in my office. She's praying in different places in the house. And so we have that time, but we do come together. And so if the wife is uncomfortable to pray out loud or the husband is uncomfortable to pray out loud, that's okay. Let the other person pray out loud. Don't make it weird. Just if one person doesn't feel ready, that's okay. Still come together as a married couple. The person that is comfortable, pray, have a simple prayer, hold hands. We would encourage you to hold hands and have that moment and watch. Give God just some time. You do it every day and see what happens.
Another one is scripture sharing. So if you guys are both reading your Bible and something, you know, points out to you, you know, you can share that with your spouse. We do that a couple of, you know, here and there with our Bible reading. We do the one, we both do the 1 year Bible. And so we are able to read the Bible in one full year. And so there's sometimes there are scriptures that will be pointed out that he's like, oh my gosh, you know, he wanted to share it with me or I share it with him. But if you want to make that, okay, hey, I want to actually do this on a regular basis. Maybe it's once a week, maybe it's every day, maybe it's once a month. Do something so that you both are feeding one another. So that's just an example to use.
And I remember this year, you were in the car and you said something about Leah and her children. You preached on a Mother's Day. And I was like, boom, you said something. Of course, we're pastors, so it's a little bit different in context, but on this, but I just want to encourage you on this. She said something and I just had a message get downloaded from what she said about the verse she felt from God. So you never know how it's going to help each other. Just sharing. So
guys, I was like, open up my heart, trying to share with my husband.
And the Lord
this is what the Lord was sharing with me. He was like, oh.
That's right.
And I'm like,
you got to write it down when you feel it.
Listen.
You know what?
Okay, here we go.
Just love me. All right.
Your turn, right?
Weekly spiritual check-ins.
Yeah.
So weekly, of course, we've talked about this before. Summer and I have a weekly date. So this could be a weekly date. With the coffee time in the morning when the kids are in school, whatever the schedule allows. But it's ask, how is your heart with God? What's he teaching you? So I think this, that touch base on God is a big deal. And have that pulse, just like I hope you're doing this in general. Like, how you doing this week? What's going on? What do you feel? And you add that about God, I think it's just that much more powerful.
Another one is worship together. So attend church together, be at the same service, enjoy one another. If you're able to worship together side by side, I know there's some people that do, you know, they're volunteering or whatever, but the point of it is that you guys are all in the house of the Lord together. So that's a good thing.
There's something special about standing next to your spouse and singing, worshiping, participating, and being a part of a service together.
Taking communion.
Taking communion.
That's where you can pray together.
Please don't underestimate it. God moves in it. And there's something powerful about it. Serve together. Join a ministry. Serve at church. Volunteer as a couple. Maybe lead a group together if you have groups in your church. Be a part of a group together. Just serve together. That's very powerful when we do that. And, of course, Summer and I serve as pastors together. And we do different things along those lines together, obviously. But I would encourage all of us, there's something powerful about serving together, mm-hmm. doing, having an outlet and connecting, giving, being a part of something bigger than ourselves, I think is healthy mm-hmm. for our children all the way through adulthood. And I think modeling that is a big deal. And I think we should do it.
We were marriage group leaders together.
That's right.
Several years.
And really, to me, this is, we're talking about how to build spiritual intimacy. So mm-hmm. we need to thrive sexually. We need to thrive emotionally in intimacy. That's all of this is huge. Mm-hmm. We need to thrive spiritually. We need to thrive in our shared faith mm-hmm. with Jesus toward one another, that we are locking up in our faith. And this is a covenant that we have in our marriages, and that God is the center, and we're actively pursuing that. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Okay. And then another one is be honest with struggles. Mm-hmm. Confess your doubts. Maybe there's questions that you may have. This goes mm-hmm. back to communication. Make sure that you're communicating with your spouse. Make sure that you're opening up and being vulnerable and sharing with your spouse about anything mm-hmm. and everything.
Yep.
Because that's your safe haven.
And this one, a lot of these that we're talking about are probably hard to do. This one, to me, is talking to couples is a challenge.
Oh, for sure.
And I just want to encourage us that maybe your marriage right now currently is not a safe place. Mm. And so if that's the case, we would encourage you to go to a pastor, go to a counselor, a group leader, et cetera, and talk to that person, and then bring your spouse along with a third party there, pastor, counselor, et cetera, and let them help you engage in those conversations if you need that support. The point is that we're able to communicate and be vulnerable. Mm. And some couples maybe right now are good with that, and some maybe aren't. Mm-hmm. But you can go there and get there with intentionality.
It's good.
And I want to encourage you, this is huge, mm-hmm. Because when we do that, we bond and we grow together. And then the next one is set spiritual goals. So we've tried this in our house, and I would want us to go up a couple levels on this, but this is a challenge because of our schedule, mm-hmm. but this is good. So set spiritual goals. So memorize one verse a week, fast together, maybe on occasions, or maybe every week, whatever you feel led to do on that. Read a devotional as a couple. We're speakers for Family Life. We do Weekend to Remembers across the country, and they have a great devotional for married couples mm-hmm. that we would highly recommend. You go to Family Life, their app or their website, look at their resources, and you can see that devotional. I think it's very, something like that is very good for us to have a common ground and connect mm-hmm. and just build that rapport.
I think spiritual goals can also go with vision.
Yep.
And that's vision for your family. That's vision for your kids, even maybe how you're parenting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's vision for your marriage.
Yep.
And maybe that's just how you see yourself in 5 years together, in 10 years or yep. whatever that looks like. So you definitely can set up, you know, a wide spread of like, you know, this is what do we want our legacy to look like
right.
for our family
that's right.
and for others to see it.
And when we are connected as a spouse or, you know, with our spouse, excuse me, then our kids receive the benefit. Mm-hmm. We always say if we're together, mm-hmm. we can get through anything. If we're not together, we can fall for anything. And I think many times our marriages and our families can either receive the blessing or a detriment of the lack of spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And to me, what we're talking about today, and we have some questions to ask you here in just a minute, maybe think about and talk about with your spouse. But to me, we think about, first off, God made marriage before he made the church.
Right.
God loves family. And God made our bodies, spirit, soul, and body. So he knows everything about us, the wiring, the desire, the all of it. And really, this relationship, babe, is the only one. Marriage is the only relationship that connects to every part of our lives. So sexually, spiritually, emotionally, financially, all of it. Platonic relationships obviously have some of that, but not all of it. Family, some of it, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. So marriage connects to every part of us, mm-hmm. which is a big challenge. So we need to have spiritual intimacy to have that bond be strong, because when we're strong, our family's strong.
Amen.
When we're strong, our kids have peace. Our kids are secure. Our kids have a sense of confidence, because in the home, they don't understand it, but they're picking up and they're feeling what's in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, as married couples, lead the way and model for our kids, this is the way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to value God, and we're going to work a plan, and we're going to do our best to have God, not as a side piece, but as the foundation of our lives together.
Amen.
And when you have that, a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
So this is easier said than done. We understand. But to consider how to build spiritual intimacy, pray together daily. So think about a set time before you go to work, when you get up, et cetera, whatever works for you. Don't know. Talk about that. Scripture sharing, weekly spiritual check-ins, worship together at a local church, serve together, big deal. Be honest with your struggles, share them, and set some goals. Set some goals about reading the Bible or verses or different things of that nature, and just talk about this as a couple and think about what are your pain points, and then what are these, a few things here on how to build spiritual intimacy. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
How can you start? And then here's some questions that we want to ask you to maybe consider talking through with your spouse to get the conversation going. Go ahead, babe.
Sure. First one would be, when do we feel closest to God together? It's a question that you could ask.
What would you answer that for us?
When do we feel closest to God together? I mean, I think there's several different. I feel like when it's like after we just settled an argument. What were you going to say?
Sex. Come on, somebody.
Okay, second one.
Somebody's saying amen out there in podcast world. Yes, they are. No, I would say communion as a family.
Yeah.
Every Sunday night we do communion as a family. Touch base for the week. That's a spiritual moment. I think worshiping next to you in the front row is always cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I've thought of it that way as far as this is, but when I like in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But as I think about our connections and flow, it's some really cool moments.
Mm-hmm. When we do number two,
mm-hmm.
Okay, what spiritual practices do we each enjoy most?
How would you unpack that for people to talk?
Well, that could be attending church, that could be going to small group, that could be your prayer time, that could be your worship time, that could be reading your Bible, that could be journaling. There's so many different, there's so many different practices that you can do with God. It's that we enjoy the most.
Yep.
And maybe it's Sunday nights with our kids, and we're able to sit around the table and read
and I think
and pray.
Everyone in the family, when the Chosen episode has a lot of action, everyone's engaged. When it's maybe a little slower, it's me, you, and Zayden. But when it's highly engaging, everyone's into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Number three.
Okay, what makes it hard for us to pray or read the Bible together?
Very good.
That's a great question to ask. What do you think? What makes it hard for us? I would say we're all on different schedules. Mm-hmm. I will not. That's not true. Let me not say that. I am learning to be a morning person. I'm continually learning to be a morning person. And I have seasons. There's sometimes where I'm like, I'm a morning person. Yeah. And then there's like, what? Girl, are you crazy? My husband is just very disciplined in this way. And so I would say that's one thing that could make it hard. Another thing could just be our schedules, busyness, kids.
Yep.
But we put it in there.
Got to do it.
Yep. And then the last one, how can we encourage each other in our personal walks with God? Mm-hmm. And I would say is, when we pray for our spouse and, maybe a scripture is highlighted to us for our spouse, while we were worshiping God, sometimes I can get visions of different things going on in my life or for other people. And so maybe that's one. And ultimately, it's just, it could be just affirming your spouse.
Yeah.
It could be hugging your spouse, mm-hmm. just loving on your spouse. That's an encouragement.
I was going to say, I can speak real quick, and maybe yeah. for the women, for guys, for the husbands. I know for me, when you say I'm doing a good job, mm-hmm. when you say you can do it, or I'm not trying to be cheesy, but the number one thing that guys need is not sex. It's affirmation and respect. So just so we know, guys feed on that. In fact, we did a wedding on Saturday, and I said in the vow part, before the vows, rather, I said to the bride, I said, your love and your touch on him will do things that nothing else can do. And I just want to encourage you ladies, your love, your touch, your mm-hmm. words do something to us that nothing else does. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else outside of God's Holy Spirit touching us. There's nothing else that comes close. It's the gift that you, that I believe God has given you as my wife to do that. And so I would encourage you ladies, do that. Do it in a way that feels natural, that feels good. Don't mm-hmm. be like over the top and be kind of weird about it, but I would tell your husband, man, I'm proud of you, or man, I see a great man in you, or you're a man of God, or
right.
when you did that, that really touched me. That was awesome. Thank you for praying. We need to know that. And when we know that, it does something to us. When you've told me stuff, it's like, I feel like I'm a little kid sometimes, like getting a compliment from my dad. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it sounds like, what am I acting like this? I'm 46 years old. What am I? But it's, I'm feeding on that. I'm receiving it from you. So wives, please give that to your husband. Cause when you do that to me, it really blesses me.
You're doing a good job, babe.
Thank you. I feel it right now. What would you say for yours? What would you need from us, you know, or from me, or for the women's side of it? What would you need from?
I think it's the same. We're going to talk about love languages mm-hmm. coming up. Yep. And so I think it just depends on your love language mm-hmm. and that, you know, I love it when you hold my hand so tight, you know, it's just that security blanket yep. that I have. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to one of our guys we're talking about our finances, and it was just something about, I don't know, I can't explain it, but when he started talking to this man about our finances, I was like, okay, I'm taken care of. It just felt good. Yeah.
I think
the security.
I think what you're saying, maybe I don't want to, if not, we're going to wrap this up, but I would say you want me to be proactive.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from women over the mm-hmm. years. And I want to end with this, and you can get the last word, but I would say this. For men, guys, just be proactive. Our wives do not need us to know more than them, because maybe we won't. They don't need us to know it all in the moment, or be more spiritual, or to know more Bible verses. If that's the case, fine. But they don't need that. I think what you want from me is to be a proactive leader.
Mm.
And if they have that, they're secure, which you just said, you're secure. You feel a sense of peace. You feel a sense of protection. You feel a sense of, man, okay, there's a tensionality here. So I just want to encourage us guys. I think the image we're getting is to be, through media, lazy, don't know what to do, ignorant, and just kind of a dunce.
Mm.
That's not what God intended. And we don't have to be uber smart to do this. And like I said, our wives may be more, Summer's better at money than me, so she does our finances, but that doesn't mean I can't be proactive in our finances.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife may know more than you, be better than you, whatever. Good. That's an awesome thing, because we're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when we're a team, when the team wins, we all win.
Right.
So let your wife flourish. Just be proactive.
Right.
And when you're proactive, she's going to respond.
That's so good. So I just want to remind us that when it comes to spiritual intimacy, it affects every area in our lives.
So good.
And you cannot think that the enemy, which is Satan himself, that he's not even involved, or that nothing Bottom line is that he wants to tear down our marriages. Yep. He does not want it to be a God-centered marriage at all. And so you have to be intentional, of like what you said earlier, you have to be intentional and putting these things in place, because it does matter.
It does matter. So we can't wait to come next time as we talk about the five love languages and how we can know them. And maybe you do, but please tune in because we'll talk about how we can connect continually with each other in our love language. So please consider to like, subscribe, and share this podcast. We'd be honored if you do. It's our heart to do our best every episode. And we'll see you next time. And may God bless you.